Very good.
I think now, there's... Go ahead, David.
Just a question, again, on the burnt offering. Because Tony said that the burnt offering is the first offering. But do you remember yesterday the first offering was the peace offering and then the meal offering? And now today we have the burnt offering. So help me out here. If Tony says that the first offering is the burnt offering, why did we get the meal offering yesterday with the peace offering? And then also, why is it that we don't have the sin offering here? And I think if we can understand a little of this, it will help us. One of the other comments let me just make, and I think Emil just expressed before very definitely some of the feelings that some of us have as to the lack of response. Now, I'm sure if I sat here this morning and asked you to give me all the statistics of your most famous ball player, I'm pretty sure I will get a ton load, so much that we wouldn't be able to record it. Now, I don't intend to be sarcastic in the least. What I'd like us to realize, young people, is this. If we don't start studying this book, we wouldn't have the stats, the spiritual stats, to be able to express anything. And I want to encourage us. It's a challenge to my own heart. Time spent in this book was what Gideon was doing, in a sense, when he was threshing wheat. He was getting the spiritual stats, so that when the enemy comes up, Gideon was able to stand against the enemy. Beloved young people, you're not going to be able to open your mouth if you don't get the spiritual stats. So just by way of encouragement. So my question, you've got the burnt offering first in Leviticus 1, but here really you've got the burnt offering kind of in the middle. Help me out here. Why did we get the peace offering and the meal offering first? And why not the sin offering?
You help us out, Dave. Start us on.
Can I get the brethren first? I want to listen.
I'm not sure. I could suggest something and you can help me if I'm not right. But in Leviticus, the order of the offerings to start with, it starts with God. What is most precious to him, the burnt offering. And then it goes down to the trespass offering. Whereas here, it seems to me more, what is the need for Gideon? It starts with the peace offering, the meal offering, and then brings him up to what is a sweet savor to God, the burnt offering, that Gideon might enjoy that.
Very good, Kevin. That's where we want to begin. In Leviticus, as you're saying, it's God coming out to man. And it starts with what is acceptable to him, what's most precious, what's most delightful. And it even starts with the bullock in the burnt offering. And then it even goes down to the turtle doves, which would be the least of the burnt offerings, but yet all accepted by God, as long as they're done in the order in which he prescribes. So that's how he comes out to us. And then finally we get the sin and trespass offering. But here it is Gideon moving Godward, as you're saying. And he comes out with the peace offering, the meal offering, but then he's now advancing. And this is what needs to happen with us as young people, is that we need to advance. We can't be stuck in one place all the time and circling. We need to have advancement in regard to the truth. Now, the sin offering is not here either, but it is rather the burnt offering. I think the emphasis is on the matter of acceptance. As you were saying, Emil, if there is going to be any blessing for Israel, any blessing for Gideon, it's going to be on the basis of God's acceptance of us in the death of Christ.
Emil, you mentioned something that we don't want to let go by. And that is that he, in those offerings, the offerer put his hands upon the head of the animal. Now, what is the significance of that? If we can see that, we're going to be really helped to see how that Gideon then could go forward. In the sin offering, I'm going to mention that one first. In the sin offering, when the one who is bringing the offering puts his hand upon the head of the animal, all that he is passes on to the sacrifice. It's exactly the reverse in the burnt offering. all that Christ is, I stand now in the value of His work. I stand complete in Him. I'm accepted in the Beloved. And if we can use that scriptural terminology, that this is why Gideon could go out. Now I want to say again, who are we influencing? We are influencing someone. We're influencing our younger brothers and sisters. We're influencing others in the meeting at home. We're influencing those in the world. How are we influencing them? Gideon had a wonderful influence, didn't he? It says that Gideon took 10 men of his servants. And how simple is this? He did as the Lord had said unto him. What's that called in a very simple word?
Obedience.
Obedience. That's what it's called. It's exactly what the problem was with Israel. Ye have not obeyed my voice. Here was one standing in the work of Christ who obeyed the Lord's voice. And he included others with him as he went out into that work.
Can I say on the sin offering, I'd heard once in a study, in verse 37 we actually see the fleece. As far as how the fleece would soak up all the dew that was around it. As I had heard it, I'm not sure the full explanation, but there was some parallel to that in Christ as he would soak up all the sin of the world around him, and he would become the sacrifice in itself. So could not that kind of parallel the sin offering?
So we'll have to think about that.
We'll think about that.
Yeah.
You're stumping us here.
Yeah. Now someone might say, well, you know, look at Gideon. He feared his father's house and the men of the city. So he could not do it by day. He did it by night. I don't know whether you're going to be too hard on Gideon. There might be some that would look at the fact that he didn't do it in the day. I love to look at the fact that he did it. I think that's the positive side, that he was willing to take this step. And listen, let us realize that there was tremendous risk. There was tremendous cost. These people came to his house the next day and they wanted this man to die. See, there's cost involving our following Christ. You know what else he's going to find? He finds there's opposition. When he takes a stand for Christ, he will find that there are those, and we will find that there are those that oppose us. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down. The grove was cut down by it. The second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And where was Gideon? He went home and he left that testimony to this world as to who Jehovah is.
And there's an interesting thing that happens when you serve the Lord. We have his father here, who I like to look at as a backsliding believer. Mm. And in the sight of what Gideon did, it brought him back. Mm. You never know what, not consequences, what chain effect
influence
your actions are going to have. I don't think Gideon intended for his father to, but who defends him? The one who built the altar. So when the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. And that's the best, most beautiful thing about obedience.